Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the 750. I am your O.R.J. Ochoa. He is your 7-5, two-time Super Bowl champion, college football Hall of Famer. The one, the only. He looks refreshed today. Tony Casillas. TC, what up?
You know what? I am a little refreshed. I got a chance to go out of town and get some sun, get some vitamin D, and the brown boy is back.
Is that your favorite vitamin?
I like the sun. So yeah. I would say, yeah, vitamin D is for the pigment, although you have to wear maybe 40 sunblock now because the sun damage. But yeah, I think vitamin D especially, yeah, because it's all about the sun and kind of rejuvenating your, kind of getting restarted.
Right on. Well, you were out of town last week, and so glad to see you're refreshed, glad to see you're ready to roll. The NFL draft happened, Tony, and let's just jump right into it. The Dallas Cowboys drafted a nose tackle. And I'm very excited for your thoughts on this. It's a rare thing for the Cowboys to specifically address that big trash can run stuffer. But Quentin Bohanna out of Kentucky, we were doing a bunch of live shows during the draft, and a lot of people were anxious to hear what your thoughts were on Mr. Bohanna himself.
Well, first of all, I was just kidding you when before we started the podcast, I said, did you follow the draft? Right. And like, you did a tremendous job of covering it, and I was blogging the boys, and just so much content. So keep up the great work, brother. You just mentioned it. In this defense, and it was, if you're a defensive person that really just thought the Cowboys should go deep in the defensive side of the ball in the draft, your wish was granted because that's exactly what they did. But Bohanna, I mean, he's one of those lunch pail guys. I mean, he's a big dude. He's a good one technique, a nose tackle. He's not a pass rusher. So if you look at it into Dan Quinn's and what you need is a one technique and a three technique and just grabbing up space and keeping your linebackers free, he's that guy. I think that he's the guy that they looked at and thought, you know, with all the picks that they had early on, that he could fill that void and that role as that type of person, because those guys, frankly, are hard to find.
Yeah, I mean,
sounds simple because it's more of a run stopper, and I understand that. But to be able to have that role and just know your role and if that's what you do, you're down and dirty. Again, RJ, they're just kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys have not had problems finding three techs. I say not had problems, but they've not been averse to that. But the one tech position is something that they just, and you know, you wonder what happens when this is an extreme example, when they go to Los Angeles and play the Rams in the playoffs and CJ Anderson's running all over you. I mean, again, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of a sixth round pick here. All due respect to Quentin Bohanna, but it's progress. And in fact, this is the third draft since we started the 750. And Tony, I'm not trying to give us all the credit, but if you think about it, the first draft after we started the show was 2019. They took Tristan Hill in the second round. Last year, they took Neville Gallimore in the third round. This year, they took Bohanna in the sixth round, but they also took somebody out of Troy Aikman's alma mater in UCLA in Osa Odighizuwa, a little bit of a more athletic defensive tackle overall.
Nice job on the pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. It's a work in progress.
First time, right? That's probably the first time you've been.
That's what nobody tells you when you're like growing up. Like the thing about like being on live is it's a lot of fun. The energy is really great.
Right.
But then you get a name that is tough and you butcher it 10 times in a row. You finally figure it out. But we are basically responsible for the Cowboys now, you know, at least investing mild resources into the defensive tackle position. So that's nice. What do you like about Osa? Cause again, not necessarily like your run stuffer, but another 75th overall pick. I have to imagine they have high hopes for him.
Well, and I think that for me, it's all about, they had all these numerous draft picks, and we will know in 2 to 3 years. Obviously, Mekhi, Parsons and Kelvin Joseph, these type of guys, hopefully we'll get an opportunity to play right away. But still, as long as we've been doing our show and been following the NFL, it takes an adjustment. With all that many picks, I hope that these guys can fill that void, because that's something right there in the heart and soul of their defense. They gave up so many yards versus the run last year. And I just know, as a defensive player, the one technique and the coaching aspect of it and being more patient is something you have to develop. And a lot of people think, well, why is that such a big difference? Well, because things happen faster. The guys always said the adjustment, the reps are totally different. And saying that, I think Osa brings a really, really good dynamic. I think he's a big dude. I think he's a little bit more versatile than Mahana is, because of just what he can do and what he did at UCLA. I think what's interesting about the draft now is it's almost like running for a political office. Everyone knows everything about your personal life. And he's an interesting guy. He's more an advocate of mental health and everything. So all these guys got a lot of really interesting intricacies about them, so I think for him, the aspect of him and Antoine Woods, obviously you mentioned Tristan Hill and Neville Gallimore. I mean, this is just add to the mix. And I think that he's more athletic. He's a big dude. He's more of a three technique edge guy, not edge guy, but still the three technique. You have to take that step inside and really just let the defense flow laterally. And I think that it's not just, hauling ass upfield, RJ, in the three technique. It's grabbing the blocker and understanding the nuance of the defense. And I think that's the adjustment that all these defensive linemen have to make in the National Football League. But I like the pick. I think, whenever the Cowboys traded, that 10th-round pick and went down to 12, I think they got some value for that with Philadelphia Eagles. And so I think some of these picks that they had early on, the second and third, maybe the fourth round, are really hopefully guys that they really can count on to be in the opening day roster.
Yeah, I think the pick that they acquired with Philadelphia when they moved down in the first round was spent on Chauncey Golston, the Iowa defensive end. And so that pick, I was a little befuddled by it. Just because they drafted an end last year that didn't get onto the field that, really upset a lot of people, and Bradley and I. And so, you can never have too many of anything, but, I don't want to see Bradley and I's progress stopped is my point. But again, maybe they know what they're doing. I think the pick, Tony, before we get to Micah Parsons, I guess this steers us into our linebacker conversation as a whole. But first, the pick that I think Cowboys fans are most excited about, because people get excited about value. People want to hear like, oh, the Cowboys spent, this pick on him and it was because he fell, right? Like he's really, a higher round grade. And Jabril Cox fits that mold, obviously, in many people's assertion, the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. And like, when was the last time the Cowboys had a linebacker who could cover, who could move laterally, who could run side to side? I mean, maybe rookie Leighton Vander Esch that year. I mean, Jalen and Leighton were both obviously awesome, which is why a lot of people believed in them. But times are changing, at the linebacker position. In fact, like, to set the stage, so they drafted Jabril Cox after they drafted Micah Parsons. So they spend two picks in the top 115 selections on the linebacker position. On Monday, they did not pick up the fifth-year option on Leighton Vander Esch. In fact, they declined it. That's the official verbiage. So, here's a lot of people, Tony, are happy to see some accountability at the linebacker position, because it does feel like since 2018, Leighton and Jalen have been the two guys most parked on easy street, if that makes sense.
Well, I mean, Leighton has been, it's all about his injuries. That's the reason why they didn't pick up his fifth year option. And look, I think it's a message sent loud and clear. We're not very good at the linebacker. We don't feel very comfortable about where we're at. We got a new defensive coordinator. He's got a chance to see all the forensic and watch tape and understand that we need to, to go find, more suitable linebackers in this 4-3 defense. And that's one thing about the National Football League. That's the shots fired. That's how people respond. I mean, look at to take it to a different level. Look at Aaron Rodgers at in Green Bay when they drafted a quarterback 2 years ago. So there's some sensitivity, but also, as you mentioned, accountability that these guys got to be more suitable. They got to get better. I mean, Leighton Vander Esch, I don't know, because of his just degree of injuries, it's really held him back, RJ, and maybe the defensive side of the ball. But Jabril Crox is an interesting dude, man. I think about, he's a North Dakota State. He optioned out and transferred to LSU because he wanted to see if he could play at that level in the right. SEC. And for all matters, had a pretty good year on an LSU defense, offense and defense, but a team that wasn't that good.
Right.
He's a bright spot. And a guy, as you mentioned, can cover in space, can haul ass. Was he have like 4.4 speed, something like that? And so this is a guy that's more man-to-man, that understands, is rangy, long, can cover a lot of field. And I think his instincts a little bit better than maybe what they have right now. But, you know, the point to Leighton Vander Esch, I hope he stays healthy. This is a contract year for him. If he stays healthy, the question is like Stephen Jones said in his State of the Union, if he does on 105.3 FM, that, hey, we want to bring him back. Hey, look, yeah, they want to bring him back, but they don't want to bring him back at what he may be, you know, worth if he does stay on the field.
Yeah. So, Stephen, I understand. I'm not trying to give Stephen like an ultra hard time here. I understand his job is difficult. I don't want to be the guy that's just like, you know, slinging insults. But last week before the draft, you know, Steven's on 105 Through the Fan and he's asked about Leighton Vander. She says, oh yeah, you know, we really haven't gotten to that discussion. You know, we're going to talk about it after the draft. And it's like, Stephen, the deadline is literally the Monday after the draft. Like, nobody believes you, you know, and I understand he's just trying to be political, you know, whatever. And then you're right. Like after the draft, asked about it again, especially because the Cowboys had drafted two linebackers. Yeah. You know, we just haven't gotten to it. You know, we're going to say, we're going to think about this, whatever. And then, you know, to come out, I mean, imagine being Leighton and them literally saying, we don't think you're worth $9 million for next season, but we want you back, you know? So like, if you're Leighton, you already know, you know, you're going to get far below that rate. And, you know, right now, I mean, if you're Leighton, you don't really have a leg to stand on, but Stephen Jones is doing a lot of peeing and telling people it's raining. You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, it's just, nobody's buying that kind of stuff. It's just, it's part of the funniness that is football. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's raining insecurity for Leighton Vander Esch, and hopefully he'll build the process. But I mean, you can't, as an organization, you can't blame him for not picking up that option.
Of course.
He hasn't played well. I mean, he can't stay on the field because of injury. So I don't know why everybody's so surprised about it. I think that the direction they're going, and maybe he'll be better suited in this 4-3. I think he was his first couple of years. Obviously, the first 2 years in the league as a rookie, had a tremendous year, and maybe it'd be more suitable. But it's all about health for him, and that's what the organization does. They look at who they drafted, who they have, and what the future and what they can do as far as the salary cap. And look, again, I hope he goes out and balls and just goes out there and makes a lot of money. But that's something that right now that the Cowboys is not something that really they want to willingly do because of who they drafted and who they have on their team now.
So you mentioned the 4-3. I think this is important to specify because a lot of people hear 4-3-3-4 and then they run, you know, they jump to conclusions. Dan Quinn spoke for the first time since becoming the Cowboys defensive coordinator after the draft, after the Cowboys brain trust left. Dan Quinn got his own moment in the sun. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed hearing from him. He's got a nice kind of demeanor about him. And last year there was a lot of confusion, right? Like, are they a 3-4? Are they a 4-3? And Mike Nolan kept saying, well, we're both. We're going to do it all, whatever, blah, blah. Dan Quinn said that they will look like a 3-4 in base, but a 4-man front in nickel. And they are effectively a nickel most of the time. So nickel is basically their base. So they are a base 4-3 defense that has some 3-4 looks. But I think if you had to decide which one they are, like if you have to label it, they're a 4-3 defense because they play nickel so much, which is why, you know, it was awesome that they added three corners too. I mean, maybe it's two corners and a safety, depending on how you define Israel Mukwamu. But I mean, overall, I mean, they injected a lot of life into this defense that needs a lot of it. I don't know that all these players make the roster. Like, I don't know that even Quentin Bohanna does. I mean, there's a lot of bodies on defense, and they just added 8 new players to the defensive side of the ball. But that's why, like, the hardest position I think to make now defensively is linebacker. Like, these, you know, the undrafted free agent one out of Texas A&M that they signed. I mean, life's going to be tough. Like, Francis Bernard wouldn't make the team again this year, because you're talking, you've got Micah Parsons, you've got Jabril Cox, you've got Leighton Vander Esch, you've got Jalen Smith. Now you have Francis Bernard, Luke Gifford, who are battling for that 5th spot. I mean, you know, it's a tougher spot to be in, but at least the Cowboys do have options now. Do you think Jalen Smith was excited about the Cowboys linebacker selections?
That was going to be my next comment. This is something that obviously has defense all written over it, as I mentioned earlier, that they needed to get better at that. But so there's going to be some competition, unlike any competition they've had before. And look, I mean, the one thing about a veteran in the National Football League, there's some nuances that you understand about the game. The physicality is there, but it takes on a different meaning to being a professional. And that's learning and really comprehending the system and as a player. So the physicality part for Jalen Smith, to me, I don't think everyone doubted. It's just the decision-making and him just being overreactive to different things. But this is I give the Cowboys maybe a B- for what they did. Just the fact that they went all defense with the first 6 picks.
First time in franchise history they spent their first 6 picks on defense.
And everyone was like, okay, well, if there's that sexy Kyle Pitts sitting there, what are the Cowboys going to do? And I think really, the Micah Parsons to me was a message sent that, look, we need to get better on defense. And I really like this. I think that when you get a new defensive coordinator, it's kind of like, well, how much of the voice are they going to hear from him? And I think that he said, look, we need to go out and get some defensive players. I don't know how many, as you mentioned, I don't know how many of these guys are going to be on the roster when it's all said and done, when they get to the 53-man roster, but it gives them an opportunity to do the competition where there's not, you know, we're coming out of the COVID where it's going to be more practical football, and these guys can ascertain all the information. And as you mentioned, Jalen Smith has got to be on, you know, has got to be on call as far as what he needs to do as far as getting better and understanding and really, really making his mark. And I just know this, whenever they drafted a rookie, whenever they drafted someone that was at my position, look, I was going to be a good soldier.
Tony hit his camera there and knocked his phone off. You were intense about that. Huh?
I was quick, but here's the thing. It's like, I want to be a mentor, but I'm not going to tell them everything that I know because they want my job. So I think to make this long story short, that's the thing that some guys need to understand is that job security. Right. There's no job security.
It was a weird week. It's been a weird week overall. I agree with everything you're saying, but first off, but it's been a weird week at the linebacker position. It's kind of like, it's felt like, you know, like in a movie when they have like a montage and it's like, it's over, like, it's like 20 years or 30 years, like flat. They show you like little clips. It's like, you know, literally like 3 or 4 minutes over, like taking place over 34 years. Right. I feel like that's what happened because we saw, you know, the draft week got started with Sean Lee's retirement press conference. Right. So you're kind of like facing that Sean Lee's leaving, blah, blah, Penn State linebacker, blah, blah. Boom, first round, Micah Parsons, Penn State linebacker. Okay, wow. And then boom, 4th round, Jabril Cox. Awesome. Another versatile, really fast, lateral, side-to-side linebacker. Great. Boom, Cowboys not picking up Leighton Vander Esch's 5th-year option. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like life dramatically changed at the linebacker position over the course of the last week. Like, things rarely happen that quickly in the NFL. It all happened to land at the same time in a funny way.
Yeah, I think that's the greatness of now, the draft. And I think it's out front and center. It's sensationalized. It's marketable. It's the brand of the National Football League. All the, you know, all the, when the decisions, when they're made and them getting the news and being drafted, I think that's great. And that's cool and everything else that goes along to that. But me as a former player and understanding the game, you know, after they select you, after all the novelty is worn off that you're in the National Football League and you sign your contract, they own you. So now, not, you know, that's just a metaphor that, hey, you're an employee now. Now it's time to perform.
Sure.
And I think that that's, to me, sometimes that gets overshadowed, RJ, the novelty and the brand, and not the big focus is that's being a football player and being a contributor. And I think that maybe there's some guys that we've got on, one more notably, that is really, that's been the focus, is more the brand and not what you do on the football field.
Sure.
And that's kind of the state of the National Football League. But, you know, for these guys, man, this is the opportunity. And I look at that defensive tackle position. I think, to me, you know, it's all jobs are open. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a competition that these guys, if they transition over to the National Football League, they can make an impact because, you know, Neville Gallimore, you know, he's a third round draft pick and he started to show some promise. And then Tristan Hills is former second round. He got hurt the ACL. You got Antoine Woods, but beyond that, and
it's just question marks. Yeah.
It's an open call for these guys to have an opportunity to make an impact at a position that they really, really need to hit on.
Sure. Obviously, we have a lot to figure out and discuss over the rest of the offseason, but this was a good, you know, initial look at the class as a whole, specifically the defensive side of the ball. So good times. Tony, you said it all. So that about does it for this episode of the 750. But of course, we'll be back next week. Nobody go anywhere. We'll see you then. This was the 750.